Okay, go to Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer. Verse
9. I'm not coaching moments.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now that's this, the problem with becoming familiar with something is it becomes a rote instead of a real prayer. And so my way of combating that was to do this study a long time ago, and I just found it. So let's the first word is hallowed. And it's an interesting word. It's hagiazo. It means you've separated yourself from everything other than the Father. There's no other value system. So hallowed is kind of a biggie because it's the first part of it. Now, do you understand what that means? Hallowed. It means that you have separated, that the intent of this is that you have separated your mind from everything except Him. You no longer have any other response or any other place you go. You're hallowing His name. It means everything is back in His business.
Yeah, it's kind of a two-way. You unhallow yourself in any dimension and totally hallow and focus on.
You know, this is why I want to study the three of rebuke and the seven of consolation, because it goes directly in with this. I think they're related much more than we think they are. I'm not going to go through all of the kingdom come and all that, but it's let's go on down to give us this day our daily bread. Now, this is something that is far more deep than that, than giving you something to eat. This is let your sustenance be from matzah, which is the Son of God,
which is broken bread.
Hmm?
Which is broken bread,
but not anymore. It's broken to indicate this Passover, but then the fullness after Passover is fulfilled, is that it's all there is unleavened bread. But that doesn't just mean what you eat. It's again this thing, let all your thoughts continue to be only on the Father, because you're not gaining, why do we eat?
I'm hungry.
Hmm?
Because I'm hungry.
You're hungry, but why God could have just, you know, we could have just breathed and got all our goodies.
To live.
Hmm?
To live.
Okay. No, to show us that we have to take things in and have to excrete what we don't use out of it.
Right. And the reason for that is because otherwise, all of us would become 500-pound idiots, because we wouldn't want to get rid of anything, because we'd always try to save for it. But anyway, that's a general idea.
There's also what Joshua
and told the spies, the other 10 spies, that they were bread for us. You know, in other words, the giants in the land are bread for us.
Same thing.
Same thing for us, too, our problems, daily problems.
The word for lead, osphero, is interesting because I think Gary mentioned it the other day, that the idea that why was this even in there? Because they're asking him to lead us not into temptation. But anyway, to start off, that word lead means lead into something. Sorry. God. All right, I can do this. Let's go from backwards. Let's go from evil to the point of what "int lead" means. Verse 13: "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Evil is this word that we think evil is something bad. That we think is bad. Evil is panaros. It means that you have something to do. You have a labor to do. You have whatever it is you have. That it is not instant. It's, you know, it's just, so the idea of lead us not into temptation, let us not be in any way enticed to leave the internal now. We're back again to abandon yourself.
Lead us into the rest. Lead us into the rest. Lead us not into temptation, lead us into the rest. Same?
No, similar. But the idea, lead us not, lead us not into temptation. It's the idea that it counteracts everything that your mind has to offer. Because everything of your mind is planning something that's going to take place. How can you improve it? How can you affect it? How can you change it? How can you get more? Whatever. But that's the issue that's being dealt with here. Lead us not into becoming a human being again. Is this communicating to anybody?
Yeah, I see it. Lead us not into self-effort. Don't lead us into self-effort.
Well, anything that's not self, the self-offers, it's lead us away from anything that isn't now. So we the idea is what everything in our mind, in our surroundings, in our families, in our friends, they all have ideas about what we should do. And so you lead us not into,
there's not into making choices
in anything except the eternal now.
Kind of a funny little sentence, the fact that who would suspect that God would lead you into temptation?
Well, because that's the test. He allows it to happen in your mind so that you can find out how evil your mind is.
So we're asking him not to do the test?
No, we're asking him to let us see this clearly. Don't forget it, as Harry used to say when he walks 10 steps down the sidewalk.
What did the word lead mean as you read it?
just means into, lead into the entrance of some place. Now this, what the Lord's Prayer is majestic because it destroys everything. Everything you value. But deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, not this. And the power and the glory. Now, believe it or not, the three of rebuke and the seven of consolation are really kind of an appendage to the Lord's Prayer, or maybe a prependage, whatever you'd say. And that's what we're... I'm going to cut this short because I'm not doing well. It's making me nuts again. But any other thoughts on Matthew, on the Lord's Prayer? Does anybody believe it?
Yeah.
Can you repent if you ever find yourself doing it?
I had the exact same thought when you said that's what we're going to study. I looked at it and I thought, well, how do you say it and not be rote and not be a mantra? Because we've said it thousands of times. And that in the nature of man is to make everything, just get through it. You've said it, okay, you're good. But without the contemplation and the digging into it, separating the words. So the answer is yes.
Another aspect of how is... It could easily be transferred. Deliver us from ego.
Maybe both of them could be also lead us into repentance.
Well, that's assumed. God's allowed the evil one to cause every possible
attempt. You need to repent if you have the evil one there trying to make you not.
Right. He's trying to do everything, including how you should think about God. But remember we've talked about these dividing lines, and this should be a bright, shining beam that it's so bright that it would blind you if you went into it. And so the idea of leading us not into that, let this beacon of light keep you away from doing it. That means, and that's when we talk about the word tested, that you have to be tested in all ways. That's the whole purpose of the evil one. That's the purpose of your mind. It's the purpose of the world. So that you can see what the mystery of God is, but you can see, you never know, it's like we never know what to do about something, normally. And then we figure out something to do. You understand that? I mean, we can't have nothing to do. That is like death. Well, it is death. To have nothing to do but be faithful to this next instance, or this boom, now. To never leave the eternal now. And that's what really being in and on the mercy seat is about. It's not about when you leave it, then it's just something up there that's you're fully in the mercy. You mean the promised land, but if you're not in the mercy seat, then who knows what's happening? You need to be on the mercy seat in Him. And there's no time in Him. It's the eternal now. That's why our mind can't conceive of a place without time. That's the promise that's set before us and everything in the Bible. So you can live in total abandonment of self. Total abandonment of any other system other than faith. It's faith alone. Even thinking about what you like or don't like. I mean, it's in all things. Your music, Gary.
I'm kind of laughing in my mind with regard to the eternal now. And the fact is, you can't learn to be in the eternal now, because then you learn something and you're doing something to be there, which is not death. Dying to self will cause that place to happen, of being in the now. But if you can learn it, it's a religious act that you are doing to convince yourself that you're righteous and holy.
Well, we're back to the thing. What it requires is what I talk about all the time. The preaching of the cross should produce repentance. That's its purpose.
Yeah.
That's the only purpose, because it's the power of God.
Where else do you go in death but eternity? So that is, I guess, the preaching of the cross is.
It's just a. I mean, I can tell you, I don't know what it is. I can tell you what it isn't from my own experience. But what it isn't is all the crap I did when thinking up stuff and did for God. And, you know, this was my understanding of what God wanted. But it was at best an infant, a spiritual infant doing it. You know, this is just.
Here's an example of something. In the last few months, I've been fascinated with the subtlety of the serpent. And he was more subtle than any beast of the field. And that subtlety is important for us to kind of at least acknowledge that it's there. And so what I was just talking about was the subtlety of hearing preaching and say, oh, I agree with that preaching, so I'm going to do that. I'm going to be in the now. So, but the subtlety is that you can't be in the now by your own effort, because you're leaving the rest to be in the now. It's a conundrum.
Well, it's repentance, and the only thing that's the power of God in terms of, that's why the preaching of the cross is the power of God, because it destroys everything except repentance.
Yeah.
And that's. I printed out all of the words that repentance or associated words had, and it was like 20 pages of how often, I mean, in terms of the total Bible, there's like 20 pages about repentance. There's more about repentance than anything else in the Bible. And it's the last thing we want to do.
Out of the concordance, is that what you're saying?
Well, it was out of the search engines in there. But it's you can't repent about something that you don't see as evil. And that's the bottom line. And that's why the preaching of the cross is so powerful. It's the only thing that produces, that will show you that what you think is right and good, and what the world in our mind thinks is right and good, is of the evil one.
What do you mean by the preaching of the cross?
Well, I mean, if you don't know what it means by now, you've heard me speak 1,000 times, probably. Not 1,000, but it means your death.
To see in that. To see that in that act, we were carried away too in it.
Well, we were carried away, but we have the same heritage. As... We have the same heritage as Adam and Eve. We've fallen. We're born fallen. There has to come a time when you understand what repentance is, and the preaching of the cross is the only thing I know of that shows you what repentance is.
Somehow I'm reminded of Esau, who came back from being out in the field and was hungry, and he sold his birthright, and then he repented of it, but not the godly kind. You know, and sought to have the birthright back, and it was too late. It wasn't there, you know, because repentance is a gift of God. It's not something you can do. And
well, it's a gift of God because the Holy Spirit should have shown you something that if you think is right and good, then the Holy Spirit shows you it isn't.
When you see
that something is of the evil one, then it's kind of easy to repent of it. Yeah. Should be. But if you put God's name on everything, then you'll never repent.
Yeah, well, that was the point. That was what I was trying to say, is that is the lesson of Esau sold what was important for nothing. Can we, willing to go out there and sell, you know, this rest for worrying about something? You know, I'm willing to sell out, you know, the chance to be at rest so I can decide, you know, what I'm going to do about Darlene leaving.
Well, again, the thing is, it's not... It's not a how to do something. It can only happen when you see. And you see the evil of the world system. When you see it, or you see parts of it one day and parts of it another. But then you finally end up seeing... You can't see through your eyes anymore. You have to see through the eyes of Christ. You can't hear with your ears. You have to hear with the ear of God. And that produces, because you'll see just about everything you do in your life on a daily basis needs repentance. But you can't repent of it if you don't see it's wrong. So if by God's standpoint, and when the preaching of the cross produces, the only hope, our only hope, is our death. But death isn't like I'm going to die a little bit, but when I get down the street here, I'm not going to forget about it. That's what Harry, he used to say that. I'm sure you remember how often he said, I sit here and listen, and then by the time I get to 10 feet down the street, I forgot. Well, I mean, that's true for all of us, I hope it slowly is getting, the distance is longer. So finally you come to, well, what a Sabbath day's journey is, one step.
I have another subtlety. The place that God would desire we be is innocence. And in the place of innocence, you're not judging good and evil.
Right, I mean, that's what I've taught for years.
So if you're not judging good and evil, then you, this idea of having to repent of everything that you judge is bad, that's bad, 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 repent, repent, repent. At some point, something else takes place.
Because in death, innocence, but you keep your, we keep ourselves alive. And once you see you're keeping yourself alive in this area or that area, there, and the number of places and areas you keep yourself alive is probably as number as the sand of the sea.
Which is more powerful, the resurrection of Christ in you, or the resurrection of the evil one in your brain?
The evil one is more powerful.
You think?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's why it takes so long to repent.
So Christ is that weak?
He's that humble. He cannot and will not occupy where you are. That's humility. The same humility as God. Same humility as the Holy Ghost.
I don't like giving Antichrist that much stature.
Of course not. That would be the obvious.
I would rather believe in Christ than the Antichrist. Doesn't that make sense?
Wow, that's fair. It's not a matter of believing in. It's what we do. As long as you see and are continuing using your mind for anything, then there has to be repentance, or it'll continue on, and you'll continue to be Esau. I mean, that's what the Bible is full of.
Yeah, I think that what Gary said always reminds me that I don't really want to believe that I'm the Antichrist. If I can say that I'd rather believe in Christ than the Antichrist, then I'm not making myself the Antichrist. The Antichrist is somebody else. You know, God's more powerful. Push him away. But that's just not right. I mean, when I'm standing here not being Christ, then I'm the Antichrist.
So then the picking up of the cross is just a religious theology. It's not a reality. You don't really die. You talk about it, but it's not true. You don't do it.
Well, but that's what Paul said when he said, you know, I reckon I'm dead in Christ, yet nevertheless I live. I mean, this is a conundrum that's faced people for 2,000 years.
Yet not I that live, Christ liveth in me. Well, he lives there part of the time, maybe once in a while, but the Antichrist really lives there most of the time.
Because
I mean, this is the resistance of the conundrum.
No, as we said, it's not difficult to walk away from a pile of dung. It's what happens. When you see your mind is like 1,000 times worse than a pile of dung, then when you are still down here playing in this pile of dung, and all of a sudden you smell it, and you repent. But if you don't, I mean, if you're what's called nose blind, you'll always. This is why, from in the Old Testament type of all this, they had to kill every man, woman, and child, even the infants, in the land of Canaan before they could take possession of it. Well, there's seven mountains in the land of Canaan, seven tribes. All of these tribes are in you. That's what the mind is. The whore is sitting on it.
Yeah.
But I got to put one place. It'll just take one quick scripture. Revelation 17. There came to me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment seat of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, and sitteth upon the waters of the human race. She sitteth on all of the human race, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have made drunk with the wine of her fornication. He carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-covered throne, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns, and a woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and decked with precious stones and pearls, golden cup in her hand, and all that. It's everything we think is good is sitting. That's what that whore is deceiving you about. And she's sitting on many waters. Go to verse 15, and it'll tell you what. The waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are the people and multitudes of nations and tongues. They're all the people. But if you don't see that, then you won't see you're the Antichrist. You're the instead. if that word anti is, it's not anti, it's the instead of. That's what the word means. But we didn't translate it. We tried to keep, and again, it was a trick. But the word anti in Greek doesn't mean anti. And this is the transliterated, not translate, the word anti out of the Greek into English. We're left with not being able to see this mystery. And that too was of God. To cause you to come to the total end of you and see yourself not just as dead, but as buried. So you stop smelling up the world. Buried deeply. Well, as I've often said, if you didn't die and were buried when you were baptized, you didn't get baptized from God's standpoint. You just got wet. All right, take a big guy.